Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we use biblical principles to show you how to remove the debt you have. And we go one step further. We show you how to lead a debt-free life. Is it hard? It can be, but if you follow the principles as laid out in the Bible, you will achieve the goal of becoming totally debt-free. You can check out more about this Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Take a look at the topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Study, and that first study you come to will be Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, join me today. Now, we work with couples and individuals, and we hear so often that their spending is totally out of control. The sad part is they never realize it until they were so deep in debt. So, John and Evelyn, how about today we share some, like, five signs that will let you know when you crossed over into being totally out of control with your spending?
One of the most important things that people can learn from Compass Catholic Ministries is that everything belongs to God. You know, we are simply caretakers of all the blessings that He's entrusted to us. Everything that we have, we've got because God has blessed us. Listen to this verse here. To the Lord belong even the highest heavens. The earth is His also, and everything on it. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And in Psalm 24 says, the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are His.
Man, that has a lot of alls and everythings in it, doesn't it?
It's pretty much says God's got it all, including us.
So God created all things, and He never transferred ownership of His creation to us, correct?
That's true. Absolutely true. You and I, we own nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada.
So one of the important reasons to keep that in mind is because when we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision also becomes a spiritual decision. So every time we spend money, there's a spiritual dimension to it, right?
Am I using the Lord's resources in the best way?
And when we think about spending or giving, we don't say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? Rather, we frame the question as,
Lord, what do you want me to do with your money?
So that's a whole different way of looking at things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And you had a hard time with that concept, didn't you?
In the beginning, I really did. I've got to admit, I'm not proud of this, but money was number one on my list, and God was someplace below money. When you've got that kind of an attitude, then you're focused on possessions. You're focused on wealth. You're focused on yourself. If you can get this attitude adjustment, this mind swap, this transformation that, you know, in your brain, you might know God owns everything, but is it in your heart? And if you can get that transformation down to your heart so that you live your life knowing that God owns everything.
Not only knowing, but living that way.
Living it, absolutely. When we have this attitude and we handle His money according to His wishes, then we really become good stewards. And it's important that we don't waste all the things that have been entrusted to us.
So that gets back to the topic for this show, which is your spending out of control? Because if your spending is out of control, then you're wasting resources that have been given to us by God.
Exactly. You're probably not looking at your spending from a godly perspective.
And that's true whether you have a little bit or a lot, correct?
Absolutely. You know, you can, you know, if you're wasting money, you're wasting money. No matter whether you're wasting a lot of it or you're wasting a little bit, it's still a waste.
So we're encouraging everybody to think about how you spend each and every penny and consider where and how and when and on what you may be wasting money, right?
Yes. What are you doing with your money, with your resources, with your treasures that can be of benefit not only to yourself but to others around you?
You know, that's a good thing to ask yourself. How many good deeds could you have done with that money that you wasted?
You know, how much could you help the poor or the parish or ministries And how much of that wasted money? This is Catholic guilt here, okay? How much of that wasted money will you regret in the future when you have a need for it?
Oh, you mean like that new fancy smartphone that costs $1,000 and maybe your car breaks down and you don't have $1,000 to do the repair? That kind of stuff?
That could apply. Check this box here if it works for you.
You know, one of the things I read that impressed me about thinking a different way about money is how much something costs you per hour.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it, yeah.
So let's say you earn $10 an hour and you spend $50 buying something that you really don't need and you don't use, so you've just basically thrown away $50, right?
Exactly.
Which is 5 hours
of work. Yeah.
Was it worth 5 hours of work at whatever job you have in order to buy that thing?
To wear that one time and then never wear it again.
That's right. Or use it or whatever.
Yeah.
And even if you make as much as $20 an hour, you still wasted 2.5 hours of hard work buying that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of a different way to look at things.
Based on how much money you're wasting, you could be throwing away weeks or even maybe months of work because you're not spending carefully.
What came to mind when you were saying that is somebody putting money into a trash bag and throwing it out in the garbage truck and having the garbage truck drive away with it. I mean, when you're wasting money, that's basically what you're doing. You're just throwing it away, right?
But you really might not realize how much money you're actually wasting. And I just wonder, Evelyn, do you have some signs that would show us or let us know if we think we might be wasting our money?
Well, according to Len Penzo, here are the 5 signs you might be wasting money. And before you send more cash into the dump heap, why don't you think about these in your own life? So the first sign is you buy new stuff just because it's new.
Okay.
You know, the new whatever comes out.
There's a lot of techies you're talking to here, Evelyn.
If you're the person in line at 2 a.m. just because the new smartphone came out, and you have to be one of the first people to buy it, you may be wasting money.
And I try to understand that when I see the news stories of people who waited
overnight. 24, yeah.
Exactly. Trying to get into their mind going, you have a phone, it does all the cool things. How much better can this possibly be? I do know somebody who does not stand in line, but has to be first because of the camera that's in these smartphones. He likes taking...
I mean, but how good a picture can you take?
That's my point to him.
But, you know, I think we've probably all done that. Every one of us.
Oh, everybody's done it sooner or later.
At some time or another, we've done it in our lives. And you think, well, why did I do that?
But the question is, do you do it over and over and over again, and it's a habit,
whether
it's needed or not? And you know what? There's always going to be something new. I mean, the world is constantly evolving, so as soon as you buy one thing, there's going to be something else to buy.
You know, I saw when we went into one of those big box stores, a curved TV screen. I guess they've been out for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool looking.
You don't need a new TV.
No, I don't think so.
You know, so getting that fancy new thing is not always the best way to spend your hard-earned cash, right?
Well, but you know, that commerce, that's what makes the world go round. What would happen if companies all stopped creating brand new things?
Maybe everybody would get their debt paid off.
I think, you know, if they stopped creating new things, they'd go out of business. So I understand why they create new things. It's just that we don't have to buy a new thing every time it comes out.
And
Of them are like every 6 months, and that really gets expensive.
But people get caught up in the excitement of having the less, you know, the flashing it around. What's that saying we have in the Bible study? People buy things they don't need with money that they don't have to impress people.
They don't like.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to be cool. I want to be hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just electronics. New cars fall into that category too, right?
Well, yeah. New cars depreciate by 11 to 15% the minute you drive them off the lot. And they've lost about 20% of their value in the first year. And by the time they're 2.5 or 3 years old, they're worth only about 50%.
So in order to be a good steward, we really encourage you to stay away from the temptation to always have the newest thing, whatever the newest thing is.
Yeah.
Fashions, cars, restaurant visits, tech toys, whatever.
You know, one way of doing that is skip a couple things before you buy something. And so, like, if you've got a generation 4 of whatever it is, and now they're working on generation 8, when you upgrade from generation 4, just upgrade to generation 6 or 7. Number one, you're going to get it a whole lot cheaper. It's like buying a used car.
No, we do the same thing with our smartphone. We're like a generation or two behind.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It meets our needs.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the key is it's needs versus wants. Right. You need a certain thing, but
well,
you
we probably
want...
only need flip phones.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, I don't think I can go back to a flip phone. But thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah, what planet are you from? What else you have, Evelyn?
Well, number two is that you sale shop for things you don't need. So if you see a sale, you have to go out and buy it. Whether it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Super Saturday, or free shipping, or just Monday.
You know, I found myself doing that several years ago after I retired. I would go to a big store. They always had a phenomenal sale on dress shirts for work and stuff. I'm retired, and I'd still find myself going and buying like 3 shirts that I probably have worn 3 times in the last 3 years. I just don't have...
You don't need them anymore.
No, I don't need. I went because out of a habit.
And that is where a lot of people fall into a bad habit, I think, is that they just get into that habit of going and buying
yeah.
and getting.
Yeah.
But really, fighting your way through the crowds, whether they're real crowds or virtual crowds, to get your hands on stuff that you never knew you wanted is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, you hate to miss one of your department store or computer store's special sales.
Which happens every weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. And you don't want to pass up the 2-for-1 coupons at things you've never heard of. But you know what? If you're saving money because you're buying stuff on sale, how much could you be saving if you just didn't buy it at all?
Uh-huh.
Bingo, you know, just leave your money in your wallet. There's a big difference between saving and not spending.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. Our ministry is called Compass Catholic, and our mission is to help to show you how to remove the debt that you've accumulated. Not only will we walk you through the steps, we have tools that you can use absolutely free. Learn more about our ministry at compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today, and we're sharing 5 signs that you need to look for that says your spending is out of control. And Evelyn, a few minutes ago, John made a statement about the big difference between saving and not spending. Can you give us a little bit more details?
When you talk yourself into the fact that you're saving money if you get something on sale or you buy 2-for-1, you're not really saving money. You just avoided spending it. So if you don't need something, then you're not saving even one penny, no matter how little you paid for it. You're just wasting money. And that's true if you shop at discount stores, online stores, or dollar stores. You may think you're saving money, but you're still wasting money by spending it on things you don't need.
What's item number 3? It's got to be doing something with credit cards, right?
Well, if you're paying fees for your bank account or you're paying fees to have a credit card, that's not a good idea, and it's certainly not a way to save money.
So there's people out there that are paying fees to use their credit cards.
Yes, they're like, it's like...
Interest charges and past due.
No, it's like you have to pay $100 to use this credit card for the year, to renew the credit card.
Oh, okay.
So it's not interest charges, it's just a fee to use the card.
Okay.
I mean, there's plenty of cards out there that don't charge a fee, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
Paying to use a card and paying to get into debt so that they can charge you interest really isn't much of a good deal.
And on checking accounts, I know that there's banks that still charge like a monthly fee. I don't know why, but...
Because they
Yeah, people will do it. So, you know, for checking or maintaining a minimum balance or whatever, you know, that's just not much of a deal, is it?
Well, there's plenty of credit cards with no annual fee, so you should investigate those instead of paying for using a credit card, unless there's a rewards program that's going to more than reimburse you for the fee you paid.
Yes.
And if you have accounts at a bank and they charge you a monthly account fee, then you need to investigate ways to not pay that account fee. Maybe it's having a certain amount in savings or... lockbox at that bank, or there's different things for different banks. So you really need to investigate that so you're not paying fees that are unnecessary.
You know, I imagine there's a lot of people that pay ATM fees because, you know, because I read that banks are making like $6 billion a year or something like that on ATM fees.
You mean like out of network fees?
Yeah, they're going to, any bank will do. They got a cash machine or...
Yeah.
There's a cash machine in the supermarket or there's a cash machine in the mall.
So what's the usual ATM out of network charge? It's like $3, isn't it?
I think it's more than that now. I think it's about $4.50 or $5.
I have no idea. I've never had to use out of network.
So let's just say it's $5.
Yeah.
You do that once a week.
$20.
$20. So that's $240 in a year. That adds up to a lot of money.
It really does.
Very fast. It doesn't take long, does it?
Yeah, yeah. I think people just need to do some research. They need to find a bank that will accommodate the way they bank, that doesn't charge them fees for the way they bank. If it's minimum deposits is an issue, and I know with some people it can be an issue because you're really struggling financially right now, just find a bank that's not going to charge you any fees. That's an important thing.
And it may take some legwork, but it's worth the effort.
Well, you know, a lot of times they're going to charge you fees and it's going to cause you to be overdrawn.
Yes.
And then you get another big charge.
Yeah. Because I think overdraft charges now are about $35 per check. And the banks put the checks in the order that the largest ones come in first.
Yes.
So that you'll overdraw so that they can get the fees on the subsequent checks.
Some of them say they don't do that anymore, but I'm not so sure. and I'm not so sure they put the deposits in first either.
That might be true. All right. Number four is that you don't take advantage of loyalty cards at the stores you shop at regularly. You may not want to give the personnel at the grocery store your personal information in exchange for one of those accounts, but it's certainly worth the effort.
They do that at grocery stores?
Yeah, they have like a super shopper account where you have your little, it's like what we have with the...
it's like a little piece of plastic that scans.
Yeah, it's a little piece of plastic that scans, and then you can get discounts or different prices on things.
I guess I don't go to that grocery store.
Our grocery store doesn't do it.
Oh, okay. I remember that happened in Atlanta. We had a special card for the grocery store we used up there. I didn't think they were doing that anymore.
Depends on the grocery store. The closest one to us doesn't do that.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I really feel like they prey on you because I know, well, the drugstore does that.
Yes.
And so then they start sending you ads for things you're buying and wanting you to buy more and slightly different versions of the same thing you bought last time. But
if they're offering you regular discounts on stuff that you buy regularly and you can get the regular discounts through the loyalty program, then you might be overspending.
Yeah, I regularly buy something at the drugstore about every 6 months.
That's because I do that shopping for you.
So I don't think it's going to do me any good.
What I hate is the cash back offers that you get that expire in like 2 weeks.
Because
it's almost you have to come back and buy more.
Yes.
I just bought stuff. I don't need to buy more.
The office supply store is good for that.
So unless you're in a witness protection program, it's absolutely worth the savings if you can get discounts on stuff you buy and you're not encouraged to buy more through these loyalty programs.
Okay. How about eating out?
Oh, you know, eating out can be a big financial drain.
But I like to eat out.
Yeah, well, I like when you eat out because that means I don't have to cook. But if most of your meals come from a restaurant, you're wasting money.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think buying groceries and eating at home, you're probably going to save maybe 30 to 50% over what you'd spend in a restaurant.
Yes. Well, you figure you don't have to pay taxes and you don't have to tip if you're buying groceries and cooking your own food. And if you're taking your meals, let's say to lunch or you're cooking on your own, it's going to be less expensive and probably a lot healthier to eat at home rather than cooking out, even if you're not really a very good cook.
Well, and then you got leftovers too.
Oh, you always like leftovers, don't you?
Well, you know, we probably eat leftovers 3 times a week, I would think.
It's because I plan it that way so I don't have to cook. Do you eat leftovers, Steve?
Love leftovers. You know, eating out, it made me think about when you go into some family restaurants, you see a lot of families whose child just got done playing a sporting event. And, yes. And you wonder how many of those they were going to plan to eat out that day anyhow. But you wonder how much the extra expense.
Well, I think it's
over
intense.
The course of a year.
Yeah, I think it would be huge if people actually added it up. And so many times there's families at restaurants at 8 o'clock at night. The kids are tired. They're exhausted from school, doing homework, the sports activities. And the last thing they want to do is sit there and behave themselves at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So it's unpleasant for the family. The kids aren't enjoying it. And the other diners around them certainly aren't enjoying it. So I would say if you have a tendency to eat out a lot, and I don't know what a lot is for your family, you should really track it for a while and see what the spending is, because most people are surprised when they track it. And
it should be really pretty easy to go back and track, because I think most people are using credit cards when they're eating out.
Or debit cards.
Yeah.
So it's something that they can get their hands
on
the receipt.
They electronically can go into some account, whether it's the bank or whatever, and figure out what they spent.
Yeah, we would always look for coupons, knowing that we may go out to eat after Chris's or Kevin's, whatever, baseball game. Mm-hmm. We would always look for that 2-for-1 and go to that restaurant.
And a lot of people just don't think that way. They're just, you know, this is the closest place. This is convenient. I like their food, so we'll just stop there. We were working with a family once that was spending, and this was just a husband and wife, and they were spending, what, $1,600 a month on eating out?
Wow.
I mean, it was an ungodly amount of money.
And they grocery shop on top of that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, their total food budget was $4,800.
A month?
A month.
For two people?
No. They have three kids.
And not to get sidetracked, but I know when you do Navigating Your Finances God's Way, our Bible study, you always ask people to put restaurants in the food category, right?
Yes.
Well,
you know, it's food, right? You're going to a restaurant, you're eating. If you didn't go to the restaurant, you'd be eating at home and eating off a grocery bill. So I count food as a category, and it has two subcategories, grocery stores and restaurants.
I think it used to be that eating out was a treat.
Oh, yeah.
It was more like date night. Mm-hmm. It was special. But families nowadays just eat out so much that it is part of their food budget.
You know, when I was growing up, at least you know, like when I was in elementary school, I can remember the only time we ever went out to eat is when my grandparents came.
I can remember when I was a child going out to eat, never. Seriously, even if we went on vacation, we cooked in.
Uh-huh. Now, if my grandparents came, we would go after church and to a buffet, all you can eat. I loved it. I could go back 4 or 5 times, but that's the only time. We never ate out otherwise.
Ours, we would cheat a little bit. I know when Audrey and I kid about this, we really only ate out maybe once a month, once every 2 months. We'd go to a bar in Trenton, New Jersey and have steak sandwiches.
This was your family?
Yeah.
See, we never went out. That just wasn't part of how my parents were raised.
So. Oh, no, my mother was a butcher, and she would always say, I can make it cheaper and better at home.
Yeah, and usually you can.
Yeah, once every 2 months, we'd go to Romo's in Trenton.
Romo's, is it still there?
Oh, I have no idea.
you haven't been back to Trenton, huh?
I can remember the first time I ever went to a McDonald's. That was a big deal.
So if you're eating out a lot, you may be wasting money, as opposed to what you could eat for if you were cooking in.
Absolutely.
So if you don't know how to cook, now's the time to learn, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you really just sit down and think, where am I wasting money? Am I really being a good steward with the resources that God has blessed me with? And you think about every purchase that you make. Is this something that, you know, if I had God with me today, and trust me, He is, but if he was standing there next to me and I asked him, what would he say? Should I buy this? What do you think, God? Should I buy this? If the answer is no, that ought to give you a pretty clear picture.
So we need bracelets with WWJB. What would Jesus buy? Right?
Get on it.
I like that.
There's a great verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, now it is of course required of stewards that they be found trustworthy.
Which means not wasting money.
Not wasting their money. That's right.
So be aware of the signs that tell you, hey, the spending is getting out of control. Now, if you missed the five signs that John and Evelyn were going through today, we have them posted on compasscatholic.org. So scroll down to Compass on the Radio. Click on Show Summary. And before we end today's show, let's answer a question that received an email earlier this week. It says, John and Evelyn, we owe $13,000 on our home at an interest rate of 7.5%. It will be free and clear in about two more years. I just started working after being out of work for 3 years. The question is, should I make an additional payment each month on our house or concentrate on my credit card debt? We have roughly $30,000 in credit card debt. My husband is 65 and I am 63. Excellent question. John, Evelyn?
Well, I would focus on paying off the credit card with the smallest balance first. And then I'd snowball the rest of your credit cards by taking what I was paying on that first one with the smallest balance and paying off the next credit card with the second smallest balance. You'll have a lot more money available in 2 years when you get your home paid for, so you can make real progress in getting rid of your credit card debt.
And there's a missing piece here, because we really don't know how much you have saved for retirement. But you might want to think about working as long as possible to build up that savings if you don't have a big retirement fund.
You can actually go into mysss.gov and check what your Social Security payments will be when you reach full retirement age. And that'll give you a sense of how much money you'll be getting from Social Security and what you're going to need to add from your savings.
If you have a question for John and Evelyn, email it to ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. We invite you back again next time for Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.